Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Take a look at our NCAA Women's Championship Sweet 16 matchups for Friday on ESPN and the app. Number one seed South Carolina takes on North Carolina in our first game at 7 Eastern. Then it's Maryland and the defending national champs Stanford in the Spokane Regional. That's at 9:30 Eastern time. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, brought to you by Whole Foods Market. And this one's a doozy, guys. Mary Beth Rollins taking home Cut Queen 2022 at the Smoky Mountain Invitational Cutting Championships. So you got the board, you got the tennis balls, whatever, that rubber ball. You got the water bottles. Did she get all of them?
This
and then,
is a sport.
I don't know what that even is.
Oh, my gosh.
And then now she's...
I would hate to be her husband. Oh, my Lord. Don't be getting a fight with her.
Yeah, obviously you wouldn't do that. But I mean, like, what? I have so many questions. Like, do you have to have the hand behind your back? Like, I'm not sure. I don't know. Has anyone ever seen this before? I have not.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a rare instance where Ryan Clark is speechless. I didn't think we'd ever see it. But here we are. Well, all right. So we'll leave it there. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And it is time to get up and play Who Wants a Quarterback? Why exactly is Baker Mayfield sitting in quarterback limbo? We'll discuss that. We're still reeling from the cutting thing. No one has as much to gain or lose this season as Lamar Jackson. Is it possible he could be playing his last season in Baltimore? And Zion Williamson, remember him? He hasn't played a game this season, which is why an Instagram reminder he posted last night set the internet on fire. We'll explain why. But first, we're going to get into the quarterback carousel, because the last week in the NFL has been very busy. Deshaun Watson headed from Houston to the Cleveland Browns. Watson didn't play last year, but his 121 combined passing and rushing touchdowns are the third most by any player in his first four NFL seasons. Matt Ryan was traded to the Colts for a 2022 third-round pick. He leaves Atlanta as the franchise leader in wins, passing yards, passing touchdowns, completions, and attempts. And Baker Mayfield is out of a job because the Browns brought in Watson. He may be on the move next. Baker had the largest drop-off of any quarterback in total QBR from 2020 to 2021, and that could explain why he's having trouble finding a new landing spot. The Carolina Panthers need someone, but our David Newton, our NFL Nation Panthers reporter, tweeting yesterday regarding reports that the Panthers are interested in Cleveland quarterback Baker Mayfield, I am told that is not true. So that takes out another potential. You see here, there's a couple teams that have already crossed Baker off their list, including the Browns, whose roster he's still on. So that tells you a lot about this situation. So where could Baker Mayfield end up next has been the question of the past couple of days. Jeff Darlington, I want to start with you. Take us through this situation, the different factors that are at work and keeping Baker Mayfield from being sort of easy to trade at this point.
Well, Dan, when we see that graphic that we just had up where the helmets are crossed out, I think we need to kind of envision two situations. The one right now in which pretty much every helmet is crossed out when it comes to Baker Mayfield's landing spots, and then the time when the Cleveland Browns reduce the compensation that they expect and perhaps increase the amount of salary that they're willing to pick up whenever they send him somewhere. And then we can sort of clear some of those X marks off of those helmets and say, okay, now who's ready to step up and add Baker Mayfield? Because there are teams that will be interested once the value does decrease. This is not as if teams are viewing Baker Mayfield as some terrible quarterback. Certainly, if we look at Marcus Mariota in Atlanta, I've talked to a number of people who certainly are very clear that they believe Baker Mayfield is better than him, better than a lot of quarterbacks around the league. So I think we just need to remember that, pointing out that, look, last year Teddy Bridgewater ultimately ended up being traded in late April. It takes some time for situations like this one to unfold.
Yeah, and just real quick, we talked about this in the last hour, but The $18.858 million fully guaranteed, you think that keeps them from just sort of cutting him and moving on, right?
Right. Well, they would. They'd like another team to pick up some of that. I made that Teddy Bridgewater analogy. Last year, the Carolina Panthers would have been on the hook for like $17 million. They ultimately unloaded some of that, $4.5 million, to the Denver Broncos. It doesn't feel like a lot, but ultimately that's what teams will try to do. We see it in the NBA a lot. I think in this case, we'll also see it with someone like Baker Mayfield.
Ryan Clark, you look around the league. Do you see a spot for Baker at this point?
I mean, you look at a place like the Seattle Seahawks, who just acquired Drew Lock, and you heard Jeff say, you know, they believe that Baker Mayfield is better than some quarterbacks. I believe he's a better quarterback than Drew Lock, so you can get him there, have a competition situation, which I believe Baker Mayfield would win. Also, you mentioned, Jeff mentioned Marcus Mariota. Obviously, they have a huge dead cap hit because they lost or they traded Matt Ryan away, but that's a competition I think that Baker Mayfield can win as well, and I think that's what he has to be looking for. He has to be looking for a place to go and compete to be the number one quarterback on that team. And there are a couple of teams that are still out there where he can win that. Obviously, you know, both Jeff and RG3 spoke in the first hour about another team that I will not mention because I do not want him there. But Baker Mayfield will be in a good spot once teams get over what the Cleveland Browns have done. Once teams understand that, once teams get to a point where they don't have to give up as much or pay as much for Baker Mayfield because they understand at some point the Cleveland Browns have to unload him. He'll get his opportunity later on in this offseason, and he will just have to go there and show that he's the Baker Mayfield of year 1 and 3, not the Baker Mayfield of year 2 and 4.
Robert, enlighten us, please, since Ryan won't, about what that mystery team is that you suggested in the first hour.
Yeah, that team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, Baker's an upgrade for the Steelers. He's an upgrade for the Houston Texans, the Carolina Panthers. He's an upgrade for the Seattle Seahawks, the Atlanta Falcons, and the New York Giants. But people have to understand that Baker is a starter caliber, but being starter caliber and being a starter are two different things. Look at Cap. Look at Cam Newton. Look at myself. There's guys out there on the street right now that are starting caliber players, but they're not being brought in for whatever reason. So Baker's kind of falling into that category, and I feel like the Browns have no one else to blame but themselves. They attacked him publicly, and they've tore down his trade value, so there is no trade market. But I do feel like the most likely place he could land is Seattle, one, because they haven't come out and said they don't want him, and two, because he's better than Drew Lock. Baker Mayfield is a player that has a little edge to him, right? He's got that dog in him, and he was willing to play injured for his team, so he's willing to put all out there on the line for the guys that he's going out there every week to play with. Baker just has to find a nice landing spot. I don't think anyone expected him to be in this situation, dancing in the rain by himself with no umbrella at this point after he requested that trade. It's a very sad scene, like a Lifetime movie.
And just to put a bow on this, Jeff, he played hurt last year. He had postseason surgery, but health is not a concern for these teams that might be exploring a potential Baker Mayfield trade, right?
No, certainly not the concern. Just a reminder, he had a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder that was surgically repaired this offseason. Teams are not looking at this like they are, say, Jimmy Garoppolo, who won't be throwing for another 3 months. So, yeah, not exactly the concern that teams are paying attention to.
All right, we want to talk about a different offseason move that was very surprising. One of the most surprising so far was not a quarterback move. It was Devontae Adams, the wide receiver, traded from the Green Bay Packers to the Las Vegas Raiders. Packers and Adams were unable to agree on a contract extension, so he heads out to Vegas, where the Raiders are happy to pay him, and he reunites with his college quarterback, Derek Carr. Adams spoke yesterday at a news conference in Vegas. He sounds pretty excited.
Once we wrapped up the season, you know, started communicating a little bit, still didn't really fully dive into it because we kind of wanted to decompress from the season. Once we got to a point where it was something that could be realistic now, it's not just a thought, we started trying to put a little bit of a plan together. But obviously me playing in Green Bay, great situation, having, you know, greatest quarterback to play the game, that's a dream in itself. Things change sometimes. It's not the first time that an impactful player to an organization had to leave. I feel like it worked out for both sides ultimately.
So Devontae Adams going to play with his buddy. It's a good offense. It was a playoff team last year. But Ryan, did he put himself in a better spot to win than he was already in with the Packers?
No, I don't believe he put himself in the better spot to win, but he did put himself in the best spot for him. Devontae Adams deserves to be paid a certain amount. Devontae Adams is one of the best wide receivers in this league over the last 5 years. The last 2 years, he's been all pro along with his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and he gets to go to a place with a quarterback that he's comfortable. The one thing you don't want to do when you've played with a guy like Aaron Rodgers is now be somewhere where the quarterback isn't at least good enough to get you the football. He saw what it was like with Jordan Love for a week. So now to reunite with a friend, reunite with somebody you already have some sort of chemistry with, some sort of synergy with, I think is huge for Devontae Adams. The hard part is you're in the AFC West, and the AFC West is absolutely stacked. But when you look at what the Raiders are doing, even defensively, going out and getting a guy like Chandler Jones, adding Rockison to the back end in a trade with the Indianapolis Colts, and having a Hunter Renfro, a Darren Waller, and also a Josh Jacobs in the backfield, this is the team that's going to be highly competitive this year. And that's what Devontae Adams wants to be. And when you add a dude like that who's a true number one, it only elevates what you can do offensively. The Raiders will be okay. And I don't necessarily know if it's a better spot than Green Bay as a team, but it's a better spot for number 17.
Robert, they are an interesting team. I mentioned they made the playoffs last year in a year of upheaval. A lot of change, new coach, new GM. Ryan mentions the different pieces moving in and out on defense. What are the Las Vegas Raiders in terms of, you know, relative to contending team now that they have Devontae Adams?
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are a contender. Offensively, they're one of the best offenses in the entire league. They're definitely the second best offense in the AFC West. So when Devontae Adams talks about, you know, it being beneficial for both sides, I'm trying to figure out how it was beneficial for the Packers. They lost the best receiver in the league, a true number one, a guy with strong hands, attacks the ball, can allow the quarterback to forget about the play and just throw it to wherever he's at because whoever's lined up across from him is a mismatch. So the Packers have to figure out a way to replace Devontae Adams. But yes, he did win by getting the big contract, going to get to play with his best friend and be his best friend on the field there for Derek Carr. But Devontae Adams, as far as winning football games, he went to the toughest division in football, the most competitive division in football, but he is winning off the field, and he should still win on the field with his numbers. But the wins in the win column, we'll see how that goes in the AFC West.
Jeff, what about the other side of this? The Packers, they do have to replace him, and there's some guys out there. There's a draft. Like, what do we know about what the Packers are thinking there?
Well, look, you see it right there. They traded they got the first round pick, number 22, but this is not a team with a great history of drafting skills position players with that first round pick. Jordan Love being the only one really of the Aaron Rodgers era until he was drafted. So, look, I think that they absolutely need to address it in the draft. They like some of their skills positions players, but they need more. If they're going to make the type of championship run that we talk about in Tampa Bay, for instance, a team that added another wide receiver themselves, then they're going to need to spend that 22nd pick or at least a very early pick on a wide receiver, Dan.
Yeah, look, if they do, it would be the third time since 1988 that they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Jeff, I won't ask what you were doing in 1988 because I think it would make me sad. Instead, we're going to run the hurry up, and I'd like you to start with a free agent wide receiver, please, Odell Beckham Jr.
We can do that. Odell Beckham Jr., Rams general manager Les Snead making very clear that he definitely wants to bring him back, but of course adds that it's, quote, a little bit more complex situation based on the injury that he suffered. We envision it being similar but different circumstances to last year. When Odell's ready to play, we'd appreciate him being part of the Rams, but of course they'd have to bridge some of the gap when it comes to negotiation. Certainly a complex one. We'll see if he winds up back there. The Vikings signing edge rusher Za'Darius Smith to a 3-year, $42 million deal with added incentives. But what we really should point out, this is the guy, by the way, in the first few days of free agency that said he was going to sign with the Ravens on a 4-year deal worth $35 million. Now, I was told there would be no math, but it sounds like he did a lot better by stepping away from that and instead signing with the Vikings. Teron Armstead will be now blocking for Tua Tagovailoa, signing a 5-year deal worth $87.5 million. This was the biggest need on the Dolphins by far. They needed to shore up that offensive line to find out exactly what they have in Tua Tagovailoa. So the Dolphins adding a number of weapons this offseason, but perhaps none more important to the success of this offense than Teron Armstead, Dan.
And Miami ranked 32nd in pass block win rate last year, which, again, told there'd be no math, is
not
the
great,
worst
Bob.
You can be. When we come back, could this be Lamar Jackson's final season in Baltimore? What? We'll tell you why the former MVP could face more pressure than ever this season. And for a guy who hasn't played in a game this year, Zion Williamson sure looks healthy. Why the Pelicans star blew up the internet last night.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
It's time for another round of What Happens If, which is a game we invented yesterday to talk about future potential quarterback movement in the NFL. And we're having a good time. We're going to start with Robert Griffin III. Tell me, Robert, what happens if Kyler Murray and the Cardinals miss the playoffs this year?
Oh no. Well, they got to pay him to get him back in the fold, right? That's what his agent said. But let's say they don't pay him and he still comes back and plays and they don't make the playoffs. Well, then this relationship will implode and Kyler Murray will be playing somewhere else in 2023.
Jeff Darlington, what happens if, and I know this is difficult to imagine, Daniel Jones and the Giants have a bad season?
Such negativity from you up in New York right now. He's not going to have a bad season.
Just what if?
Martindale, now the defense coordinator, that's going to help. But, hey, if he does, this is certainly an organization that feels like, look, they had to save on the salary cap this year. They have no room to spend whatsoever. So why not bring Daniel Jones back? Find out what you have in him. If he doesn't do well this year, though, guys, it's bye-bye to DJ.
Ryan Clark, what happens if Lamar Jackson and the Ravens missed the playoffs for the second year in a row?
I believe it affects his money. I believe that people who feel like what Lamar Jackson does at the quarterback position and the way that he does it, that feel like that's not sustainable, it's only going to add to that argument. They're going to start to say that the league has caught up to Lamar Jackson and now his level of play or his style of play doesn't benefit a team as it goes to winning and having success in the playoffs. And that's why I believe Lamar Jackson needs to get his deal done. Lamar Jackson needs to get a deal done. So there's a seat at the table to add pieces around him to help him with throwing outside the numbers, to help him with the passing game that would allow his elite athleticism to continue to win.
Ravens were shredded by injuries last year, still finished 8-9, just second losing season for John Harbaugh since he's been there. Anyway, speaking of AFC quarterbacks, these three have really shifted the landscape in terms of who's favored to win it all. According to Caesars, all three teams' odds to win it all got shorter after their big quarterback acquisition. The biggest among them on this board here is Cleveland. They were 40-1 before acquiring Deshaun Watson and now 18-1 to win the Pro Football Championship. So we had this discussion earlier this morning, and we wanted to bring it back because it seemed to spark something between a couple of our analysts. We wanted to talk about Russell Wilson in his new spot in Denver and what would success look like this year for him. Is it Super Bowl or bust? Before these two guys start yelling at each other, Jeff, I want you to jump in because I know you were trying last hour.
I was ready to just watch them. I had my popcorn ready and let them go. But, I mean, look, I'm just going to say, adds to something that Ryan said. Robert was talking about how every team is chasing a Super Bowl every year. What are the Atlanta Falcons doing with Marcus Mariota? I don't buy that for a second. You don't go add Russell Wilson unless you are aiming Super Bowl or a bust. That is exactly what they're doing. And by the way, there's a reason Aaron Rodgers was intrigued by the Denver Broncos. They are built to win now. I do believe that it is Super Bowl or bust, both in Indianapolis and in Denver.
All right, so you're on Team RC here. If the Broncos don't win the Super Bowl, they should just blow it up and get rid of Russell Wilson and everybody else, and it's not worth even trying in 2023. Is that right, Ryan?
I mean, it's not necessarily that it's not about worth trying, but I mean, you know, there are a lot of people on the airwaves right now that are talking like they've never won a Super Bowl. And that's okay to me. Like, I'm not really tripping on that. The bottom line is this. To me, it's not a joke. It's about finding ways to win the ring. And that's what the Denver Broncos are trying to do. That's what the Indianapolis Colts are trying to do. These aren't teams that are figuring out ways to compete. These aren't teams that are trying to maneuver around the cap. These aren't teams that are setting up for the future. These teams are trying to win now. Matt Ryan's 38 years old. Are you trying? Like, everybody's not going to be Tom Brady. You're not going to have opportunities to win it when he's 42. So you bring Matt Ryan in with a great run game, with an opportunistic defense to win now. The reason that Aaron Rodgers to the Denver Broncos was even a thought to us was because the level of skilled players that they have, because of the defense with a great young secondary, and now you add Randy Gregory to that front opposite Bradley Chubb. These are teams that are expected to be a quarterback away, and they don't just add normal quarterbacks. They don't just add guys. They didn't go out and get a backup in Marcus Mariota. They went out and got Russell Wilson, a future Hall of Famer. They went out and got Matt Ryan, a guy that's a future Hall of Famer and a former MVP. They have to win now, and I'm not saying that if they don't win the Super Bowl, you throw the whole team away. What I'm saying is there are certain teams that enter training camp saying we can win the Super Bowl and we have planned to win the Super Bowl. When those teams do not, that is a failure. 12 years of my career, I can't say that all 12 were a failure, because there were times in Washington and times in New York where we didn't plan to win or that we weren't set up to win. My 8 in Pittsburgh, every time we didn't win one, that's a failure. And so I think that that's the way that these teams are also approaching these seasons in 2022.
All right, look, obviously we're having a little fun with it. I understand your point. Obviously, everyone's goal is to try and win the Super Bowl. That's what you put your team together for. There's no question about it. But I guess when it comes to Russell Wilson, Robert, I mean, the Broncos are trying to solve a long-term, big-picture problem. They haven't had the guy at quarterback since Peyton Manning retired. So do you feel like, if, let's say hypothetically something goes wrong and they don't win the Super Bowl, what are the Broncos do coming out of this year? Like, is there, can you say we built on something good in the first year of Russell Wilson? And kind of continue to build around that?
Yes, Graz, that's my point. The Broncos and the Colts didn't make the playoffs last year. Yes, they brought in Russell Wilson, they brought in Matt Ryan because they want to win the Super Bowl. But even the Atlanta Falcons, for some reason, believe that Marcus Mariota in some way, form, or fashion can help them get to where the promised land is. So let's get to the nitty-gritty of it all. There's a difference between being a failure and being a loser. Any team that doesn't win the Super Bowl is a failure for that season. Ryan stated that in the last segment, talking about failure versus success. But to say that a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, but make the playoffs this year is not a successful season is basically telling every single viewer that is watching this show right now that isn't the top person in their industry, isn't winning the top awards in their industry, that they're a failure. They're not having success, even though they go to work and they put all the work they possibly can into it. So, Ryan, what I'm saying to you is NFL teams are all trying to win the Super Bowl. It is Super Bowl or bust for the Bucs because Tom Brady's 45. It's not Super Bowl or bust for the Broncos. If they get to the playoffs and are competitive in the playoffs and can win a few games, that is a successful year and they can build towards the future.
RC, I know you got something more to say. We got weeks to deal with this issue. We will deal with it. We got to get to a break, unfortunately. When we come back, though, we will talk some more basketball. Last night, Zion Williamson posted something on Instagram, and the internet went wild. We'll show you what it was and ask Jalen Rose how the Pelicans should feel about it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, it's time to play Better, Worse, or the Same. This is where we give you a team. You tell us if they are better, worse, or the same as they were last year. We'll start with Robert Griffin III. Packers, better, worse, or the same?
Adams makes you worse. No Davante Adams without having a replacement for Davante Adams also makes you worse. So the Packers have to find a way to find a new number one wide receiver or get multiple guys to pick up from the production that they lost from trading him away. And they lost out on Za'Darius Smith. Now they got to face him two times a year. That really sucks.
They did get a first round pick back for Davante, so maybe that's an easy swap. We'll see. Ryan Clark, are the Buccaneers better, worse, or the same?
I think they're slightly worse. Tom Brady's a year older. You lose Alex Kappa. He's gone away in free agency. Jordan Whitehead, the Ndamukong Suh. We don't necessarily know what's going on with Rob Gronkowski right now. And I think that this team, from a roster standpoint today, isn't as good as the team that entered last season. Also didn't finish as well as that season did, as that team did defensively. So to me, this team is slightly worse than the one we had last offseason.
Jeff Darlington, what about the Chiefs? Better, worse, or the same?
Dan, I think they're better, and I understand they haven't done a ton this free agency, but first of all, Patrick Mahomes, another year of being the best at what he does, and then Juju Smith-Schuster being added for some of these shorter routes, and I just think that this is a big addition for a team that really kind of needs that. I know Byron Pringle did a nice job for them, but Smith-Schuster to me is a big upgrade in a big way. I hate that Tyrann Mathieu's gone, but ultimately I think they are a little bit better this coming season.
And they did bring in Justin Reed at safety to replace Tyrann Mathieu. You know, it's funny you say better because we had Bart Scott in here yesterday and we asked him for his top five AFC teams and he didn't have Kansas City on the list. We then asked him, of course, to explain himself, and here's how he did that.
Listen, I'm a defensive player, and we understand that defense wins championships, but also now they got to go through the gauntlet, right? You think about, you know, within their division. Like, the Raiders are going to be not an easy out. You talk about San Diego. Last year should have beat Kansas City twice, right? And you talk about, you know, the rust effect. For years we've been talking about, you know, all Denver needs is a quarterback. I'm telling you, man. I know what I know.
Ryan Clark, he knows what he knows. He doesn't know the Chargers left San Diego, but that's a different story. What do you think about Bart's prediction? That's a shame. He's not even here to defend himself. What do you think about Bart's prediction in the Chiefs?
You know what? I think it's hard to say a team like the Chiefs won't make the playoffs. A team like the Chiefs won't be contending for an AFC championship. And it is true. Teams around them have gotten better. But when you are at the top of the game, when you are at the top of the food chain, there are only going to be small incremental pieces you can add in order to be a better team. I think one of those small pieces is a Juju Smith-Schuster add in the slot. And now you can have some of those tough catches and not necessarily always be Travis Kelce working low or inside the numbers. Also defensively, a guy like Justin Reed, who I know isn't Tyrann Mathieu from an accomplishment standpoint, from an instinct standpoint, but he's younger, he's faster, he's more explosive. So you at least add a piece there that is comparable. So I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs, when you have Andy Reid, when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, and some of the pieces around him will not only be competitive, but will be contending for an AFC championship once again this season.
Jeff, it didn't look like you agreed with Bart either when he was talking there.
I mean, Bart's a funny guy, but I mean, what is he talking about? That's ridiculous. Give me a break. We're going to pick the Chiefs to miss the playoff? Like, of all the jokes Bart Scott makes, that's the funniest one. You can't pick the Chiefs to miss the playoffs. Maybe they do. Teams have weird years. But you can't pick them to miss the playoffs. It's everything Ryan just said. Agree completely. Bart, you're a funny guy. Uh-huh.
Robert?
No, I don't agree with Bart Scott. He's a defensive guy making offensive statements. I'm appalled. The Kansas City Chiefs are the sixth year in a row AFC West division champs. They're not stupid. They see what everyone else is doing, but everyone else is loading up on pass rushers and skill players because they're trying to keep up and compete with what the Chiefs already have. So what did the Chiefs do? Yeah, they lost Tyrann Mathieu. That's a big loss, but they brought in Justin Reed, and then they added Juju Smith-Schuster, who is going to be great for their offense in the intermediate game and run after the catch. And people keep forgetting, they did sign back Josh Gordon, who's a former all-pro type of player, and he's their fourth receiver. The Chiefs are going to have to score and score a lot because on defense they don't necessarily have the firepower to shut teams down. But let's not get it twisted. Bart Scott is not right in this situation.
And the other thing we tried to bring up yesterday is coaching. Andy Reid has been a head coach in the NFL for 23 years, and he's made the playoffs in 17 of them, including each of the last seven. So I think you got to factor that in as well. One thing I know for sure is if the Chiefs miss the playoffs, we will not hear the end of it. In the meantime, let's run the floor. Giannis Antetokounmpo led the way for the Bucks over the Bills with 25 points and 17 rebounds. The Bucks won by 28 and moved into sole possession of the second seed in the Eastern Conference. There was an upset late last night. The Golden State Warriors falling to the Magic, 94-90. Wendell Carter Jr. led the way for the Magic with 19. It was the third loss in a row for the Warriors. And over here in Madison Square Garden, Trae Young scored 45 as the Hawks cruised past the Knicks, 117-111. Trae Young has the fifth highest scoring average for a visiting player at Madison Square Garden at 28.6 in 9 games played. We will have another star-studded NBA Wednesday doubleheader this week on ESPN and the app. Kevin Durant and the Nets take on the Grizzlies at 7:30 Eastern. Then it's out to L.A. for our West Coast primetime game between Joel Embiid and the Sixers and LeBron and the Lakers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. As part of Memphis Grizzlies All Access tonight, our Jalen Rose caught up with Memphis's Desmond Bane for a film session.
You know how I be all up in VIP. Got second year guard forward Desmond Bane.
Bane a step back, three is through.
I feel like you're a legit candidate for most improved player. Now, I wanted to break down a couple of plays that showed that improvement. You do a terrific job of escape one dribble, knocking down the shot. So talk about this action for your game.
Coach was telling me we got to find a way to get you more threes. You know, whether that's off the bounce, like these type plays where a guy's flying by at me to get space on my three. So that was an emphasis, you know, of my summer workouts. It worked, it translated, and come kind of staple of my game.
Another play, escape dribble to the left, bang, bang from the top.
That's my money right there.
Does that dribble have a nickname?
Yeah, I hear Flyby King. You know, that's what they call it, Flyby King.
Bane, a flyby by Davis. His three is great.
That's just a little taste of Memphis Grizzlies All Access, which is our in-depth look at all things Grizzlies, happening all day today on ESPN. And look who joins us from Memphis, Jalen Rose. We're excited to see all of that for sure and more of that interview, but we want to talk about a couple other NBA matters, if that's all right. Here in New York City, in a press conference yesterday, the mayor, Eric Adams, reiterated the city's work vaccine mandate, saying, right now, we're going to take some complaints. When this is all said and done, people are going to realize this is a thoughtful administration and we got it right. So baseball, basketball, businesses, all of those things, they will have to wait until that layer comes. Now, of course, this pertains to Kyrie Irving, who is unvaccinated and therefore unable to play for the Nets here in New York City. So what do you make of this situation with Kyrie and the Nets with 10 games left in the season?
Here's what I make. If you want to play the sport just like your teammates, you can actually get vaccinated. That's one solution. The other solution is your team, if you're the Nets, just won't meet its goals. You do have Kevin Durant, one of the greatest players that the league has seen, a terrific scorer that shows he can be dominant. But Kevin Durant is not going to be enough to win the Eastern Conference with a partial Kyrie Irving. If they're a part of the play-in, they may play at Toronto, which means Kyrie won't be able to participate. Ben Simmons has not played for the Nets just yet, dealing with the back issue. I just feel with around 10 games remaining, it's time to be more definitive about what we're seeing. The Nets will not win the East, and if they're an eighth seed, they will lose in the first round. There you go, Dan.
And you saw that schedule. There's only 10 games left. He's only going to be eligible to play in three of them. And then you mentioned they get in the play-in. He has to play in Toronto. They won't let him play there either. So, yeah, I think it's certainly time to talk about the Nets not meeting their goals. We want to show you a little eye candy. Zion Williamson posted this video to his Instagram last night. Zion, of course, rehabbing a fractured right foot. It's kept him out all season. And there is video somewhere. I don't know. Have you seen a video on Instagram of Zion? Well, let's talk about it then. Well, we can show the people another time.
I've definitely seen the video. I have an application on my phone called Instagram. I definitely seen it. My reaction is, don't overreact, everyone. Here's what I mean. Your favorite player doesn't take pride in playing 82 games anymore. There's something called load management. And if I'm Zion and I haven't played all year, he has to create a level of confidence for himself, a level of enthusiasm for the team, and show progress with his injury. How do you do that? A windmill dunk between the legs. Who can do that at 280 pounds? And I hope that I'm being generous with that weight. But either way, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans and you can get Zion back, not this season, but next season, to go with Brandon Ingram, to go with the addition of CJ McCollum and a young, talented coach in Willie Green, they can make the kind of noise you see the Dallas Mavs or the Minnesota Timberwolves make if he's healthy next season.
Yeah, but we had Brian Windhorst on last hour, and he was talking about this maybe being a statement he's trying to make to the team, that maybe there's some tension between Zion and the team about his injury situation. You don't think this has any indication of a potential issue with his future there?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
No statement, because he's still under contract, and they can pay him the most money. And when you're on a rookie deal, Dan, that's about a $40 million. And I guess I'll say haircut because I don't have one. But that's what Zion would have to take in order to leave the Pelicans. And I just don't believe that that's something that I would consider if I was him. That's a great situation for him in New Orleans. And I saw this before with Giannis. Just a couple of years ago, everybody was saying, hey, Giannis, leave the Bucks. Go to Miami. Go to Dallas. I said, Giannis, invest. Double down. He re-signed. They add Drew Holiday. Middleton steps up. And Milwaukee wins the championship. I need everybody to stop trying to take these mercurial players from small market teams and catapult them to large markets. Every offseason, we talking about who's going to go to the Nets, who's going to go to the Knicks, and who's going to go to the Lakers. I want to see Zion stay with the Pelicans.
Yeah, so we'll see how that comes out. But again, as you mentioned, doesn't seem like they'll see him this year. We want to switch it up and go do a my favorite athlete here. Hansel Emanuel. This is the one-armed high school basketball player who's gone viral a bunch of times and has an offer to play at Memphis next year. Jalen, you had a chance to speak with him. What did you take away from that conversation?
Hansel Emanuel is an incredible young man, Dan. Jalen and Jacoby got a chance to interview him on our show yesterday. And the humility and the talent that this young man has. Now, just think about this. He's competing in basketball with one arm, going 360, going nuclear on opponents to the point where not only does he have scholarship offers, he has three of them, and one of them is from Memphis by Penny Hardaway. So this time next year, while you're enjoying the NCAA tournament right now, you should do two things. One, ask the college that you root for, why are they not offering Hansel Emanuel a scholarship? And then number two, he'll be in the NCAA tournament likely next year. An incredible, talented young man. It was a joy to meet him and to interview him.
Yeah, the school I went to just went 0-19 in Big East play this year, so we could use him or literally anyone. Jalen, we really appreciate you stopping by and talking some hoops with us. As we mentioned today, ESPN's going all access behind the scenes with one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies. This is all-day exclusive coverage. Malika Andrews connecting with superstar Ja Morant. We'll go styling with big man Jaren Jackson Jr. And Jalen Rose hits the film room, as you just saw, with Desmond Bane. Also, live from Memphis, you can catch NBA Today at 3 p.m. Eastern, NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Eastern, and it all leads up to Nets-Grizzlies at 7:30 Eastern. We come back. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have watched some big names walk out the door this offseason. What exactly is going on in Big D, and should Cowboys fans be worried? Come on,
get up. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, lots of activity in the NFL over the past couple of weeks, and we wanted to review some of it and hit some highlights. Jeff Darlington, what has been your favorite signing so far?
Without question, Leonard Fournette re-signing with the Bucs. I know it's probably not something that resonates with a lot of NFL fans. He's staying in the same place, but he almost didn't. And I don't know how the Bucs can compete for a Super Bowl without a running back like Fournette. General manager Jason Light got it done again by keeping this band together. Fournette might be the biggest free agent signing to me, not only for the Bucs, but in the NFL as it pertains to the 2022 season.
Their offense really hit another gear when they started throwing him the ball last year. Robert Griffin III, best trade this offseason involving a quarterback.
Oh, the best quarterback trade is Russell Wilson to the Broncos. Look at him there, already in the uniform, got the helmet on, throwing it to Cortland Sutton. I mean, he's so excited to be in Denver, he's already making up catchphrases. He's already made up one called Let's Ride. So maybe the fans will jump on that, maybe they won't. But Russell Wilson to the Broncos doesn't just give them a chance in the short term, it gives them a chance in the long term to fix their quarterback issues.
So excited, he's already got the helmet on. Ryan Clark, which move had you scratching your head?
I don't necessarily know if it's just one move, but it's the Dallas Cowboys to me. The Dallas Cowboys feel like that they could just leak players from a team that already wasn't that good and not necessarily add players or keep players and still be a team that wants to win a championship, or at least fakes like they want to win a championship. No Randy Gregory. Lyle Collins is gone. You haven't signed Jayron Kershaw, Amari Cooper, Cedric Wilson. All of these pieces leaving, but not a ton coming in. It's head-scratching to me that the Dallas Cowboys don't really seem to be competing in free agency.
Yeah, offseason hasn't been the best so far, but Dak Prescott spoke recently at an event he was at, and he didn't sound too worried. Take a listen.
Things happen and things change. I think it'll be to that standard here soon. Obviously, things aren't done. Free agency isn't done. The draft's not done, so a lot of the rosters is yet to come.
Certainly true. There are other opportunities to add players and tweak your roster besides free agency. Jeff, you think Dak is right not to be worried?
I think Dak has the best, most positive outlook all the time. But, I mean, he's got to have some urgency. I know he's feeling it, but I'm perfectly fine with him also saying it and maintaining confidence in his locker room. I get it.
Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have a quarterback. They have Dak Prescott, so they're already ahead of the ball there. But they do need to do some things to improve their interior offensive line and right tackle after they lost Connor Williams and Lyle Collins in free agency. I love what they did at wide receiver by bringing in James Washington from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but maybe go in the draft. This is a deep wide receiver class in the draft, bringing a guy like Tyquan Thornton who can take the top off of the defense. But, man, the Cowboys were in the market for a pass rusher. They lost out on Za'Darius Smith. They lost out on Randy Gregory after he committed to them and then decided he didn't want to because of the contract language. So they have some work to do, but in their division, they're still the top dog.
RC, either there's a fly on the ceiling or you're mulling this over and have something to say about it. Which is it?
No, absolutely not. They're fixing my roof.
Like, they just got to my roof since Hurricane Ida, and it sounds like they are about to come through my ceiling. And I don't necessarily know if you guys can hear it, but I can hear it. So I'm just getting nervous. That's all, because they're working, like, right above me right now. But when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, I just think you have to look at this team and figure out what they're trying to do. You know, the places that they needed to improve. I thought they could have improved up front still, especially in the interior defensive line. You know, they get Leighton Van Der Esch back, but I believe they could have used a veteran linebacker to pair with Micah Parsons. And also on the back end, we knew that there wasn't a corner opposite Trayvon Diggs. They obviously drafted Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky early on in the second round last year. Maybe they feel like he ascends. But Jayron Kearse played at a Pro Bowl caliber level last year. And this is a guy who I know is not demanding a ton of money on the market. Actually, after only having that 1 year as a true starter, that should be someone they should have back in the building. RG3 mentioned the ways they have to replace some very good talent up front. And also on the outside, you have CeeDee Lamb. You sign Michael Gallup. He'll be back healthy. I just feel like the Dallas Cowboys haven't done enough. But Dak is right. There may be a second wave of free agency. There may be a way to move in the draft. But the positivity that Dak and the optimism that Dak is displaying is not one I would be displaying if I were a player for the Dallas Cowboys.
We're going to call their roster appropriately enough under construction for now because Ryan Clark's house is as well getting some repairs done on it. Good luck with the roof and way to fight through it, RC. Hey, here are three of our featured upcoming NHL matchups. Thursday, ESPN Hockey Night is in Raleigh for Stars and Canes at 7 Eastern. The Flyers take on the Blues at 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus, and our ABC Saturday matinee has the Golden Knights visiting the Blackhawks in Vegas. That's a 3 Eastern start, and all these games are available on the ESPN app. It was a marquee matchup in Memphis tonight as Kyrie Irving and Ja Morant were set to face off. Then Morant was ruled out with a knee injury. Is this a blip or a sign of a bigger issue for Morant and the Grizzlies? Stephen A., Molly, and the Mad Dog, Chris Russo, will answer that question on First Take at the top of the hour when we're done here. Here are our NCAA Women's Championship Sweet 16 matchups for Friday on ESPN and the app. Number one seeded South Carolina takes on North Carolina in our first game at 7 Eastern. Then it's Maryland and the defending national champs Stanford, the Spokane Regional, 9:30 Eastern. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, we showed this to you earlier. We couldn't make any sense of it. We've had an hour to think about it. This is the Smoky Mountain Invitational Cutting Championships, and that is Mary Beth Rollins, who was named Cut Queen 2022. Ooh. Robert, what you got?
Yeah, I would say I feel bad if I'm her husband in an argument, because you would officially be chopped and screwed. So
that would be
watch out.
Unfortunate. Darlington, do you ever see anything like this? You ever try this? I'm going to take that as a yes because I can't hear Jeff. We're just going to assume that Jeff does this all the time with various things around the house, either to work out his frustrations or just to keep his arm loose. Anyway, we had a lot of fun here today. Thanks for getting up with us. First Take is next. See you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.